I guess I'm here, correct? I'm good right here?
Yes, sir.
Great. Amen. Yes, sir. All right. Psalms chapter number 45 tonight. If you have your Bible, turn there with us, please. The book of Psalms in chapter number 45. It's good to be back at Woodside tonight. What a joy it is to be here. We do appreciate the hospitality that we have experienced here at this church and by the folks here through the years. And truly it has been a great experience for us coming here and quizzing for a number of years. And now we have the opportunity to be here for the prayer advance. And also, I will be headed from the prayer advance up, or not up, but down into the south and hunting. And so I'll be doing that a little bit next week. So we're excited about that. Now, I flew out early this morning. And we come hunting here about every year, but we drive. I say we drive. Me and two other preachers come, and I do most of the driving and use my truck and trailer. And so they came and picked up my truck early this morning and then went and picked the other pastor up and headed out. So they're on the road while I'm already here, and so I'm not a popular fella in the cabin of the truck and the discussions that's going on there, I'm sure. But it is a joy to be able to be here with you tonight. I have been preaching and studying through the book of Psalms for a few years now. And we are in, I think, maybe Psalms 47, I believe, is where my study is at now. But we want to try, if we can, to give you a few thoughts from Psalms chapter 45 that I feel like the Lord has dealt with our heart about. An unusual chapter, an unusual word that is used in this chapter that we normally don't use in our daily vocabulary. But I want to read these 17 verses to you and primarily just emphasize what thoughts the Lord would give us and give you an outline of this chapter. It might be good for you to have that if you'd like to jot it down. And then look at it later, and the Lord can feed you from some thoughts that you can create in your heart and mind by the Lord's Spirit working in your life. Amen. So we'll begin reading in verse number one, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Now notice the wording and the structure of the content of these verses. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, and thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and alloys and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. I'm in Psalms 45 tonight, all right? We're picking up in verse number 10. Now, the context changes. He has been talking, the psalmist has, the penman, about the king. And notice what he says now in verse 9 and following. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. I'm in verse 10. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, Her companions that follow her shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. If you'll keep your Bible open to there, we will reference these verses. My theme would be brought from verse number 1 of Psalms chapter 45, where the psalmist says, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word. Father, again, we thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God with your people tonight. We thank you, Lord, for Woodside Baptist Church and the witness that, Lord, it portrays here in Colorado and in this area. We pray your blessing would be upon this ministry. I pray the power and presence of God would be manifested to the leadership of this ministry and the man of God. And we pray tonight that you would further invoke your blessing upon the reading of your word. I pray you'd feed our soul from the truth tonight and give us light to walk in, exhort us and admonish us that we might, Lord, be thy example in this world. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Psalms, we know, is the praise and prayer book of the nation of Israel. The Hebrew people have penned these verses down as God has worked in their heart through the experiences that they have faced in life. And as we travel through the book of Psalms, we find ourselves walking down the road of human experience. And the truth is revealed in these Psalms about every area of life through the circumstances that the people of God often go through. As you read from Psalms 1 to the end of this great book, the noise of battle is heard. Sounds of joy are sung. Then you also read the words of a weeping and a broken heart. You will read a psalm that is motivated by the fury of anger. And then there's questions of doubt and expressions of dismay. And the silence of a hushed heart in the sanctuary before God's presence often can be found in the words of the Psalms that are before us. Love and hate, joy, sorrow, hope, fear, peace, strife, faith and despair, all are found as you read through the Psalms. So keep in mind when you read the Psalms that God is allowing individuals to open up their heart based on the experiences that they are dealing with in life and allowing us to hear what they had to say when they were faced with turmoil and also joy and in the midst of their situations. It contains a vast storehouse of human experience. So if you will read it in that context, it can truly feed your soul. Understanding that somewhere along life's way, you will find yourself somewhere in the book of Psalms. It is a book of praise. It's a book of poetry. It's a book of precept. It's a book of prophecy. It's a book about people, a book about principles, a book about problems, yes, and perplexity. It's also, in our text, a book about passion, purpose, and it is truly a book of prayer. And so think about that when you read the Psalms and let the Lord open up his word to your heart when you do so. Now, Psalms 45 is a little bit unusual. When I read this psalm, as we were traveling through the book of Psalms at our church, folks looked at me like, what are you going to say about Psalms 45? Because its wording is just, you know, you have to really find the theme and the purpose of the writing. And so we are told by scholars that this psalm was written, and you can see some of that in some of the headings of our psalms. It says a song of love. or a song of loves. And basically this psalm is divided in two parts. It deals with the king of David, or the king of Israel, one of David's sons, and the bride that he is about to marry. And so when we look at Psalms chapter number 45, we understand that this psalm is about the celebration of a wedding that is about to take place. It praises the king, and it instructs and praises the princess or the bride. Therefore, this psalm truly is a song of love. And so I want you to understand that. It is about two individuals that are going to be wedded, two individuals that will join in a union. And this psalm is sung about these two individuals. Yet, it is said that it is a maschil psalm in the heading. And that means that it is a means of instruction. In other words, the words of this psalm are given to us to give us something that would encourage our walk with the Lord. It would give us something that would cause us to follow the truth of God's word. And so we want to think about those things as we enter this psalm, but my thought is drawn from verse number 1. And the word indicting is not a word that we use in our vocabulary, but the word indicting means to be moved. It means to be stirred. It means to have an emotional experience over something or someone. And so that's what the word means. And then he tells us, my heart is indicting, and he doesn't say in a good matter, but he says, my heart is indicting a good matter. And so I want us to think about that. I want us to think about this thought tonight with Psalms 45 in mind. Being moved by what matters. Being moved by what matters. Can I ask you a question tonight? What matters to you? What stirs your emotion? What touches the strings of your heart? What gives you cause and purpose? That's what the word matter means. It means that we have a purpose and a cause and a reason to be living the life that we live. And I believe our motivation, and I believe what drives us to live the life that we live according to God's word, has to move us. It has to be something that stirs us. Because I'm confident tonight that few of us will go very far just from a self-disciplined, dutiful life. You can't go so far that way, because man in his flesh is weak, and he is going to sooner or later wane in his strength and in his fervency. But if we could learn to be moved, to be stirred, to have our heart moved in the right direction by what matters, then each day as we live our life for the glory of God, each day can be fresh. I just want to ask you something. What really matters to you? In this generation, I probably should ask, does anything really matter? Because we live in a very carefree society that goes about life without really any resolve or anything that is meaningful in their life. But verse number 1 tells us that the things that matter to us are the things that we have in our heart. He said, my heart is indicting a good matter. And so this emotion, this stirring, this thing that creates within us a movement and our heart is touched, it is in, as I said, our heart. Because if it's all in your head and it's all about feeling and it's all about pleasure, sooner or later that is going to fade. That is going to disappear. But if it's in your heart, it doesn't make any difference if you're a young boy, a young girl, or an old man, or an old lady. You can still have a heart that is stirred, a heart that is moved. So what matters to us are things that we have in our heart. Notice this in verse number 1. Not only is it manifested by what is in our heart, but it's manifested by what others hear. Here's what he says. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. What do you talk about? What consumes your conversation each day when you're with your friends? You see, you talk about what matters to you. But you know something? What matters to you is what you've made matter to you. You have created that in your heart and mind. Let me ask you, is it temporal? Does it have any long-lasting effect? Does it have anything that really matters, that really is worth pouring your heart and your soul into? And so we get together at times, me and Brother Jono, we've been together at quizzes and talk about different things. But primarily we talk about hunting. I got pictures of elk and deer. And that matters to me because I enjoy hunting. But what really matters to me is what is in my heart and what is in this book. And I would trust that the people that I come in contact with on a daily basis, individuals that I communicate with, would know that what matters really to this man is his faith and his relationship to the Lord. So what matters to you is manifested by what is seen in your heart and also by what others hear. But it also is manifested by things that we have made happen. Now I want you to think about that. Look in verse 1. And I'd love to give you the outline of this whole psalm. I'm probably not going to be able to do that tonight. But he said, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things, notice this phrase, which I have made touching the king. I say again, what matters to you is what you have made matter to you. It's things that you have prioritized in your life. It's things that you have made important for whatever reason. Could be a hobby, could be an entertainment. It could be in some sport. It could be one of a thousand things. But you made it matter somewhere along. When you was a kid, it probably didn't matter, did it? Cartoons mattered, you know, or whatever the case may be. Ice cream and cotton candy mattered. But cotton candy really don't matter, does it? I mean, one little and it's gone. And that's the way the temporal world is. But I promise you tonight, if you could make matter what this psalmist had made matter in his life, I'm telling you, each day you live can be a day of fulfillment, joy, and happiness in serving the Lord and being in the will of God. So listen carefully to this, every young person here. What matters to you is what you make matter. Amen? What matters to you is what you prioritize in your life. Make sure that what matters to you is not temporal, is not going to fade away. Nothing wrong with enjoying the things of this life if they don't violate the Word of God. Amen. But wrap your world around something that lasts, something that's eternal. Then notice what he says here in the latter part of this verse. My heart is inditing. My heart is moved. My heart is stirred. My heart bubbleth up. My heart boileth. That's what he's saying. My heart is moved. He says, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Not only is what matters to you is made manifest by what's in your heart, what you hear, amen, what you make happen, but it also is manifested by what you hasten to. Now, I've been getting ready to come out for a hunt and this prayer advance, of course, and so I had to get a lot of packing done. I'm the logistics guy, my truck, my trailer, and I put all the stuff in there, make sure they got the kind of, you know, drinks and the waters they want and a few snacks along the way and try to make sure everything's good for everybody. Well, I'm not with them this time, so by me not being there, we run out of death fuel, he said. I got a diesel truck. You have to put death fuel in it. So I texted him back. I said, I didn't know you had to drink something to be death. Amen. And so I thought that was, y'all were just plain hard of hearing. Amen. But anyway, last night I was just running around the last couple of days, getting stuff packed, checking the oil, making sure the trailer tires, amen, had the proper air pressure, making sure the bearings were greased, making sure the lights are working. And my wife said, "You're running in circles." I was hasting because this matters to me. And I promise you that if we will wrap our world up into something that really matters, we will hasten to be involved in whatever that something is. The work of God, the will of God for your life, the word of God. Amen. A lot of times our Bible reading and our prayer life, it gets done when we have nothing else to do, be honest. That seems to be the norm. If we don't have anything else going on or anything pressing, if the dishes are done, if the laundry is taken care of, the grass is mowed, the car doesn't need to be washed, and we got a little leisure time, we'll sit down, maybe read a few verses or have a time of prayer. But really, that should be the emphasis of our life if it matters to us. So that is the introduction to the Psalms that I have read tonight. You give me a few more minutes, all right? So what matters to you, again, is what you make matter. You have influence. You agree? Everybody in here has influence in your life. The biggest subject of your influence is you. You can influence a lot of people. You can influence your peers, your parents. Amen. Amen. You influence your children, your grandchildren. We all have influence on others, but a lot of times we fail to realize the influence that we have on ourselves. But you do have an influence on yourself. And so I challenge you tonight and charge you to focus on thoughts that would direct you to things that are eternal. Two things in this chapter. This is a song of love. It is about a man and a woman that's going to be united in marriage. A union is about to take place. So here's what matters to this psalmist. The bridegroom and the bride. That's what mattered. And I don't have time to give you everything that I preached about from this psalm, but those two things, if you read this psalm, is what matters. The first 9 verses of Psalm 45 deals with the bridegroom. Can I say to you tonight, we know who the bridegroom is. Can we say amen to that? Jesus is the bridegroom. Amen. And the songwriter said, "I don't know any better than Jesus. However compared, he's greater still. There is nothing that can compare to the Savior who loved us and gave himself for us." Notice verse 2. "Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips." He's talking about the Son of God. And can I say to you that the bridegroom matters? You know why he matters? Because his grace matters. I could preach about the saving grace of God. Tonight, if you're not saved, you can be saved. You know why? Because the grace of the bridegroom matters. Been 2,000 years since Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for the sins of the world. And yet tonight, after 2,000 years, the blood of Christ still avails and you can be redeemed tonight. You can walk out of this building tonight with your sins forgiven, with your heart clean, and your soul pure in the sight of God. Why is that? Because the bridegroom matters and his grace matters. He has grace to save, grace to sanctify, grace that we can serve him in. We need the grace of God to serve the Lord. He has grace that's sufficient. It never runs out. I said, "Preacher, I just don't know if I could ever go through what this particular man, this particular woman has gone through." Yes, you can, because the grace of the bridegroom matters, and it's sufficient. Every day it is renewed. Every day his mercies are restored afresh. And tonight, amen, the bridegroom matters. His grace matters. Can I say that his glory matters? And I'm hurrying, all right? In verse 3, He said, gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty. They're still talking about the bridegroom. Quite possibly this is Hezekiah. Men have said that this is possibly Hezekiah before he marries. He says, O most mighty with thy glory and thy majesty. Its might, its majesty, the manifestation. And in verse number 4, the meekness of his glory matters. I would love to expound upon that, but you need to realize tonight that the glory of God matters. We've lost sight of who he is. The awesomeness of God. The reality, amen, of what God can and will do in our lives. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That encompasses the aspect of his glory. It says in verse 4, and in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Amen. His glory matters. Does the bridegroom matter to you tonight? What matters? Have you made him a priority in your life? Where is he at? What place does he have in your heart? In your home? What place does he have tonight in your life? The bridegroom matters. I could read verse 5 and we don't have time to read the whole psalm again. But his government matters. In verse 5 it says, thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is for... And we know that's messianic. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. He is a governing power. Listen. Do you know that the one shoulder of the Lord, just one, can handle the burden of the governments of the entire world? So he can carry your problems. Amen. His government matters. He is able to rule. He is able. I could talk about how he governs his adversaries. The devil's not in charge here. Thank God for that. Amen. The world's not in charge. We know the devil has great authority and power, but he's not the person that's calling the shots tonight. God's not in heaven nervous over the situation of the world, whether it be in America or around the world. He is on the throne and he governs his adversaries. The devil can't do anything without it passing through the hand of a holy God. Amen. He governs with authority in verse 6. He governs with anointing in verse 7. God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness, which leads to my next point. His glory matters. His grace matters. His greatness matters. He is a great Savior. His gladness matters in verse 7. He hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. His garments matter in verse 8. Just so much could be said. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes. Listen to me. Jesus matters tonight. Does he matter to you? You got to make him matter. Now he matters whether, listen to this. We talk about, is Jesus Lord of your life? You make him Lord. And I understand that aspect of progressive sanctification. And I understand that we have a choice and we are responsible individuals as to the place Christ has in our life. But whether I make him Lord of my life or not does not establish whether or not he's Lord, because God hath made him Lord. Amen. And he is Lord either way. And so it's very important that we understand that the greatness of God matters. He is the Lord. No matter what the world does, no matter the direction or the path of society, no matter how anti-biblical our culture may be, he is still great and he is still governs. His gladness matters. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and the king shall joy in thy strength. Amen. And so his gladness matters. His garments matter. Much could be said. So what matters? What moves me? What stirs my heart? What strikes the chords of my soul tonight? The bridegroom. That is the emphasis of what this word indicting brings out from this hymn. Then lastly, the bride matters. Verse 9 through 17. And my, there is so much preaching in these latter verses. He switches from the king, the bridegroom, then he goes and begins to talk about the princes. And so we know who the bridegroom is, right? So who's the bride? The church, right? The church is the bride. We know this might be Hephzibah. We don't really know. A lot of scholars say a lot of different things as to who the person is that Hezekiah may be marrying here, the daughter of Isaiah. And that, you know, all of that might be relevant during the time it was written. It certainly was. But it's a maschil psalm. It is given to us for instruction. And the psalmist is saying, I am moved. I am stirred. I'm stirred when I see the king, the bridegroom. But I'm also stirred and moved when I see the bride herself. So the church, we understand, has never been a friend of the world. We are a friend to the world, but the church has always been a problem to the world. We agree tonight, amen. They look on us in a lot of times. The church of the Lord Jesus has been, through centuries of time, suffered at the hands of tyranny and the world's direction, because the church has always been against the path and the direction of the world. But the church matters. Does it stir your heart, church? We had church last night. And the reason why we had church last night is because I had to leave out at 3 this morning. And I wanted to have my midweek service. I don't have to be there. Last night, there's probably 250, 260, 75 people at church last night, just off the cuff. I said, it'd be okay if we have Wednesday night prayer meeting on Tuesday night, because I hate to miss. And they don't need me. I got preacher boys there that can preach. I've got people that can sing. And I'm not the reason why they have to have church. I need them. I wanted to be there. I wanted to hear the choir sing. I wanted, amen, to be around the people of God. The church matters, but you got to make it matter. I could talk about verse 9, her admiration matters. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold. We understand that her association matters. In verse 10, the Bible talks about how that there has been a forsaking of her own people, that she might cleave to the people of God. I think about Ruth, how that Ruth left Moab, and she told Moab, and she told Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God. Where thou be buried, I'll be buried. She said, I want to be with the, I know what's back there. I know my family's back there, but this is who I need. The bride matters. Her attraction matters, amen. So shall the king, in verse 11, greatly desire thy beauty. Notice what it says here, and I'm wrapping up. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there, in verse 12, with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. Verse 13, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Amen. Now the church may not look like a lot to the world from the outside, but it's not about what's on the outside that makes the church so attractive and so desirable to the people of God. Amen. When I got saved, I avoided them. Amen. I went to church. My dad was a deacon in a Baptist church, and so I went to church, but when it come Monday, I didn't want to be around those people. I had my own friends. I had my own lifestyle. But when I got saved by the grace of God, that crowd that I wanted to stay away from, that was the best looking crowd I'd ever seen in my life. I wanted to be around God's people. And you know, that is a proof text of the new birth. Amen. You know, you pass from death unto life because you love the brethren. And so I became attracted. I became drawn to the people of God. Her attraction matters. Her adornment matters, in verse 13 and following. And then in verse 16 through verse number 17, her advancement matters. Notice what it says. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name, he's speaking to the bride, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Her children are princes. Her cause is praised in these verses. That's the church. That is the ministry that the bride has on this earth. Now we know that the church is the bride of Christ. Amen? And we are going to be presented to him as a chaste virgin. Not because of our own works, not because of our own deeds, but solely because of Jesus, the bridegroom, who loved us and gave himself for us. The Bible said in Revelation 19 and verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Amen. That's going to be a reality one day for the church of the Lord Jesus. I don't know if it'll be this way. But John the Baptist said he was the friend of who? The bridegroom, right? So I'd say at the wedding, good chance John the Baptist be the best man. He's the friend of the bridegroom. The Bible said, Paul said, I'm going to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So it's a good possibility that the Apostle Paul is going to give the bride away. So we got a best man. We got a man that's going to give the bride away, the Apostle Paul, and the church is the bride of Christ. Amen. What a day that's going to be. That should matter to you. Let me ask you young people something. Does church matter? Does the bride really matter to you? A lot of things going on in our lives. A lot of things going on in our world. And in the course of our daily activities, we are pulled and we are drawn and we are manipulated to emphasize things in our life that at the close of the day, if we were truly honest, we would have to admit, I really don't know if that mattered or not. But here in this first verse, as he begins to think of the bride, as he begins to pen down this psalm, it may have been Hezekiah, I don't know who the penman may have been, but as he pens this psalm down, he sees the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus. He sees the bride, the church of Christ, and he says, my heart is indicting. My heart is boiling and bubbling and moved and stirred. My heart is indicting a good matter. Something that's worth getting excited about. Something that's worth being stirred within over. He said, I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And he begins to praise and exalt and magnify the bridegroom and the bride. It's in his heart. Others hear it. It's what he hastens to see happen because he makes it happen in his life. I wonder if you would leave this Bible study tonight, this midweek prayer time, and you would search your heart, survey your mind. The Bible said we should gird up the loins of our mind. That means gather up the slackness, the strength of your mind, things that just catch us, pull us, take us away. I wonder tonight if we could just tomorrow wake up and say, you know what? I'm gonna make something eternal matter to me today. I'm going to make the bridegroom matter and the bride matter. I wonder if you would do that tonight in your heart. Change the focus of what stirs you and what works in your life. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful tonight for the privilege that we have to have a copy of the Word of God, how we can study it, how we can, Lord, take its truths and appropriate them to our life. I pray that you would stir this congregation of people tonight. And I pray, Lord, when they leave this building, that they would realize how manipulative the world is and how powerful the culture that we live in and the forces that are around us have in drawing us away from things that are eternal. And I pray tonight that if there be someone here that's not saved, that they would make the grace of God matter tonight in their life and they would give their heart to the bridegroom and become a part of the bride of Christ tonight. And I pray for those that are saved, that are a part of this bride, that we would realize the seriousness of our role in this world and what the psalmist seen when he seen the bride and be that example that the world needs to see. Lord, I want to be stirred by what matters. I want to be moved by what matters in my life. We'll give you the praise and the glory for all that you accomplish for us and in our behalf in these days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.